3 years ago, we started going through the cycle of readings, and I was really tempted to preach on hell, but I've only been here for a month and a half, and so I prudently decided against it, but y'all aren't so lucky today. Whenever we're reading Scripture, the church teaches that there's kind of four different ways we can interpret Scripture and see kind of the light of truth that our Lord wants us to follow. The first is the literal sense, just like explicitly what the text says. The second is the allegorical, filled with symbolic truths, especially regarding Christ. The third is the moral, which teaches us how to live virtuously. And the fourth is the anagogical, which is kind of heavenly or eschatological meanings and teachings throughout Scripture. And if you read today's gospel, I feel like you'd be very, very hard pressed to try to take away the literal meaning and just say, and to dispense with it and pretend like it's not there and not take the gospel literally. Our Lord says, strive to enter the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but not be strong enough. Those are very, very kind of stark words coming from our Lord. But thankfully, you can kind of interpret the word many kind of broadly almost. You can say that there are many people who live in Los Angeles. However, most people do not live in Los Angeles who live in California. Most people who live in the United States don't live in Los Angeles. But I don't think there would be anyone in here who would say that only a few people live in Los Angeles. And so our Lord gives us this great warning today. And I think he does it in part because the deceiver, the great liar that is the devil, wants to weave in these different lies all throughout Scripture and within our lives. And sometimes those lies lead us to this false hope that sometimes we have. And I think there's different ways that we kind of have this false hope, whether in our own lives or in the lives of other people that I've seen. And one of those, I think, false hopes we kind of cling to, hoping we can grab onto this false hope and it'll take us all the way up into heaven, is this idea that, well, I'm not that bad. And like sometimes I hear, especially like the little kids over in the school argue this a lot, just kind of like, well, do you think you could go to hell? It's like, well, I'm not Hitler, so therefore I'm not that bad, so therefore I can't go to hell. It's like, well, Hitler's not exactly this bastion of virtue, now is he? So hopefully a lot of people aren't as bad as Hitler. And we shouldn't be pretending to kind of take our Lord's place in the judgment seat. Our Lord came, he died for us, he rightfully gets to sit in that judgment seat, not us. He gets to see us more objectively. He truly sees every single intention of our hearts that we've ever had in our entire lives. So only he can truly judge us for who we are, which is why we leave and reserve all judgment to him. So we can't just pretend that like, oh, I think I'm a good person. I try to follow the Ten Commandments, so therefore I'm gonna make it to heaven. We can't judge ourselves. Only God can. We can't judge others. Only God can. And we leave that judgment to him. Sometimes, within my own life, I've heard this many, many times, that the only people who are in hell are the ones who want to be there, which is partially true. In fact, Dante Alighieri, whenever he wrote his Divine Comedy and he wrote the Inferno, he mentions how in the very middle of hell you have Lucifer, and he's encased in this giant ice cube. Only his wings are outside of the ice cube, but his wings are flapping. And his wings are flapping because he's actually trying to cool down the ice cube to make sure it doesn't melt, to make sure he can't go anywhere, to make sure that his heart is not moved by the fire of the Holy Spirit and he actually wants to possibly leave and attempt to go to heaven or at least be conflicted. But his wings are flapping to make sure that he wants to stay there. He wants to stay there as long as he can. He's chosen that path and he doesn't want to be anywhere near God Almighty. And so he wants to just stay in hell and suffer there. However, our Lord's words seem to be in quite the contrast to sometimes this false belief that sometimes we may have. Our Lord says, strive to enter the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but not be strong enough. You've got to want to get through those pearly gates. You've got to strive hard. You've got to work hard. You've got to be strong in virtue. You've got to be strong in the sacrifices. You've got to be willing to sacrifice for others, to love God much more than we love ourselves if we actually want to get through those pearly gates. Because they're not just going to swing wide open and just allow anyone in, whoever wants to go in, whoever knocks. You got to push hard if you want to get through. You got to be strong in virtue. And sometimes we just don't take that seriously enough. Sometimes we don't want it enough. Because only those who really, really want it, who give their lives totally and completely to it, might get through it. Our Lord says, not very many. And so we need to take that very seriously and say, am I really giving my whole heart? We really need to look at our intentions in our lives and say, am I really giving everything? Or am I constantly holding back? Am I constantly giving little lame excuses for why I'm not giving more to our Lord to actually get through those pearly gates? Because we don't have the key. We do not have a right to the key. Only our Lord can open those pearly gates for us. Another lie I think sometimes we tell ourselves is I call it the numbers game. Sometimes I think, at least I've had this idea in my own mind, is, well, God created humanity. God is love. He creates us in love. He creates us for love. And our end is heaven. So therefore, most people must make it to heaven. Otherwise, why would he create humanity if most people are going to hell? That would be quite awful and horrible. And why would he do that to us, especially if he knows everything? But this may sound logical, but that's nowhere in Scripture. There's not a single line in Scripture, I don't think, that says there are more people in heaven than there are hell. It's this false hope that we hold on to that, like, well, it makes sense to me. Therefore, the divine wisdom, the divine intelligence clearly must descend itself all the way to my level, my very finite level, to where I can understand it. And maybe I just don't understand the things of God. And so we don't want to place our false hopes, our hope in something that doesn't exist in Scripture. We don't want to put our hopes in something that we just want to cling to because it sounds good and it makes us feel good about ourselves. And we certainly don't want to belittle the mind of God. Otherwise, he may face us one of these days whenever we come to him for judgment, and he may say, I do not know you. I do not know you because I preached to you and you did not listen. I called you to prayer, but you kept getting distracted by sports, by video games, by your own little wants and desires throughout life, by your friends, by trying to keep up with the Joneses, all these different little things in life. I died for you, but you just wanted to live a comfortable life. I disciplined you, but you kept returning to your old ways. Cardinal Newman says that to live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. And you're not changing just because you like the next new color, the next new fad, or whatever the case may be. You change because you want to grow in virtue. You change because you want to become stronger in virtue. Because once again, that second reading says, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. If you want to be strong enough to carry your cross, and especially carry it to the hill of salvation, to possibly be crucified by our Lord, you're going to have to strengthen yourself. We're all going to have to strengthen ourselves so that we can actually carry that big, heavy cross our Lord has for every single one of us in our lives. And it may not be the cross we want. It may not be the cross that we envisioned in our lives, but it's the cross that he's given to us. And we have to carry it. Because we don't get to choose our crosses. Our Lord chooses them for us. And so we just have to be strong enough for it. Right now, it's the beginning of football season. When you have two linemen facing each other, they don't go, well, if I push this guy kind of, maybe he'll just get out of the way. They push and strive and bang against each other as hard as they possibly can. Because they know that's the only way they're going to be able to get to the quarterback. And that's their job. That's our job. We have to strive and push and push and push until we're to the breaking points, until we feel like we can't do it anymore. Because we have one shot, this life right now, and that's it. There's no redos, no second life, no whatever. You get one shot at it. And either those gates open or they don't. And you get denied. And our Lord says, depart from me, all you evildoers. And that is something we do not want to hear. And those words don't seem to be coming from a teary-eyed Christ either. Because as I mentioned a few weeks ago, God's happiness is not dependent on us. He is not happy because everyone and everything makes it into heaven. He's happy in and of himself. He's perfectly happy in and of himself. If he wasn't, he would not be a God worth worshiping, and it probably wouldn't be a heaven we would actually want to go to. And so we need to make sure that, yes, our Lord wants us in heaven. In fact, he wants us in heaven more than we want to go to heaven. He strove for our heaven much more than any of us have ever striven for our heaven, because he shed every single drop of blood for us. When was the last time you shed your blood to void sin? When was the last time you shed blood to grow in virtue? When was the last time you shed blood in order to improve some aspect of your life, in order to actually follow God's will and to be perfect as he calls us to be perfect? He wants us in heaven more than we want ourselves in heaven. And so we need to trust in that love. But in order to do that, we need to be praying for our salvation as if it was all dependent on God. Truly put our trust in him, knowing he loves us so much, and continue to pray each and every day, asking him for the graces we need to run this race well. But we need to be working for our salvation as if it all depends on us. St. Joan of Arc said that to pray as if everything depended on God and work as if everything depended on you. And so we need to cooperate with God's grace. We need to cooperate with his promptings. We need to cooperate with the ways in which the Holy Spirit is whispering into our lives. And especially as Catholics, we need to be tending to the sacraments. The sacraments as often as we need to, or as often as we can, in order to be strengthened in that virtue, in this fight for our souls for all eternity. Because this is where our hope truly lies, not in all these false hopes the devil tries to sell to us. And so if we do these things, if we pray, if we work hard, if we truly trust in our Lord and go to the sacraments, then this is truly the safest route to heaven.